Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
It's a football Friday, it's an F-off Friday, and it's 6 p.m. on a football Friday. We always welcome in, you know the man, you love the man sometimes. He is Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
How you doing, guys?
What's up,
that's good. That was on me, by the way, just so everybody knows. It was not on. I didn't see it was on the phone. I thought you were somewhere else. Sorry about
okay.
that. So I can own that. We own that. We can be better. You know what, Daryl, what it is I was wrong. I've got to lead the show better. I've got to coach better.
That sounds eerily familiar to me.
So how do you view the game on Sunday for this Cleveland Browns team?
Well, I am interested to see what adjustments they make, considering the forecast isn't great. Hopefully, they don't try and throw it 58 times like they did last weekend in Pittsburgh. Big opportunity, I think, for Quinshon Judkins, as well as Dylan Sampson, and even Jerome Ford, too. I think that this is a potentially big opportunity for the run game. But I kind of feel like they got to have this one. There's some games coming up here on the schedule, starting with this one. You got the Titans on the schedule. You got the Jets on the schedule. Like, there's some winnable games here. And I feel like this is one they need to have.
If they don't get it, what do you think the fallout from that will be? Are we on Stefanski watch to being fired? Or is it just going to be status quo, us talking about it, but nothing actually happening?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Jonathan. I've been straddling the fence on that. There's a part of me that thinks that they will wait until the end of the season to make decisions on the future of the organization. And then there's kind of part of me like, how can you keep this going? Especially if it's another just absolute offensive offensive performance where the streak of not scoring more than 17 points continues. I mean, it's 11 games going back to last year, and we've talked about going back to last year only three times since they have scored 20 or more points, and that's just not, it just isn't sustainable in this particular league. So I really am on the fence with that, Jonathan. There's a part of me that thinks that they're just going to ride this thing out until they can get to the finish line in early January, and then there's a part of me that thinks that they just might have to pull the trigger and make a change Sunday night or Monday.
Daryl, we heard from Myles Garrett today. I took umbrage with one of the things he said. Was there anything specific that stuck out to you about what Myles had to say here on a Football Friday?
There are quite a few things. The fact that, you know, he's giving the front office the grace of maybe Joe Flacco doesn't fit what they do offensively, then the question has to be asked, then why was he here to begin with? Secondly, there are a lengthy list here, Nick, so bear with me a second. There was the part of he'd like some more favorable matchups defensively. He wished last week they would have run the ball a little more. He is obviously frustrated because teams really don't respect the Browns offense, and, you know, they're just not much of a scoring threat there. And so the defense pretty much has to carry the load. So there's a long list of things that I felt like it was a comprehensive Myles Garrett press conference where he was able to touch on just about everything and anything that's ailing this team. Look, I'm not going to criticize him for what he said because that makes me a hypocrite. I respect players that are honest and candid in their answers and don't give us Kevin Stefanski answers when we ask direct questions about things. So I do respect Myles' honesty, but also at the same time, there's a big part of me. It's like, dude, this is what you signed up for when you set the trade request aside and signed for $40 million a year. Like, you had to know this was coming. So, again, I certainly respect Myles' honesty, and I'm not going to criticize him for that. But then again, at the same time, you did sign up for this.
Darryl, what was it like all week long? And I'm talking about Myles Garrett. I'm talking about Grant Delpit, but some of the other guys as well. What was the vibe like around all these players this week, and what was the reigning sentiment from some of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, the Delpit thing really stood out to me yesterday when he just talked about, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys have played the sound like a broken record about, like, just basically, I don't even know what it's like to win anymore. I think, and look, again, I appreciate the honesty because they don't know what it's like to win anymore, right? They've only won four games going back the last four, the last 23, I believe, if my math is correct. So, I feel like there's a tremendous amount of frustration in that locker room. I think that there's a tremendous belief in the talent that they have within that locker room as well. And I think the frustration stems from, hey, we have talent here. Why are we not winning football games? Obviously, a big reason why is they don't have a quarterback. And the offense is frankly in the ditch. And there just seems to be no end in sight for that. But they're also trying to not point fingers. It's kind of like a fine line right now, Jonathan. They recognize the problems, but they're trying not to point fingers or place blame. And, you know, like we've seen in Miami, right? Tua did it last Sunday after they lost. He said, hey, we got guys that aren't even showing up to meetings on when they're supposed to. You're not seeing that right now, but I kind of feel like it's a tinderbox. They're trying to keep it together, but this thing could get ugly. That's just my read on it, that everyone's trying to toe the company line, but if this keeps up, the foundation's going to crack significantly.
Darryl, do you think Kevin Stefanski's actually going to run the ball this weekend?
I hope so. Myles Garrett hopes so. They should. If the weather is what ends up being what they're forecasting it to be, and that's wet with wind gusts 40 plus miles per hour throughout the afternoon, I would hope they try and run the ball. Miami's defense isn't that great, although, you know, Pittsburgh's defense wasn't that great either, and we saw how that worked out last week in Pittsburgh on that, cow pasture. So, I hope they try and run the ball. I think Quinshon Judkins has shown us, Nick, that he is capable of carrying the load in that regard. And you maybe mix in Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson, but I don't think this is going to be the week where we get our wish, where we're hoping for chunk plays down the field, right, in the passing game. This is one of those short and sweet, move it down the field slowly but surely type of games. And hopefully, again, Judkins gets, in my view, he's got to get at least 20 carries Sunday. Like that to me, that's the starting point. And we move forward from there. Maybe it's 25 carries, but a minimum of 20 carries for Judkins Sunday to me is mandatory.
Darryl, I want to ask you about the Neotrans report today about the Brook Park Stadium, because I think it's interesting and I want your perspective on it because you are very plugged into the stadium news. The report suggesting that the Browns may stay downtown 2 years longer than planned, and according to Neotrans, their sources, multiple sources, say the settlement agreement allows the Browns to keep playing in Huntington Bank Field for up to two more years after their 30-year lease expires at the end of the 2028 NFL season in early 2029. And you might actually have the Browns not in Brook Park at the amount of time that we thought that they would be.
Well, part of it, a big part of that, I think, has to do with the infrastructure and getting that all squared away. You keep in mind the airport project's going on, and that's not scheduled to be completed, I believe, until 2032. And part of that airport project not only encompasses a whole new terminal and the access to that, but it also includes 237 and potentially some interstate improvements for 480 and 71 as well. We know the Haslams were in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago, which actually got the ball rolling on this whole settlement thing with the city, meeting with the Secretary of Transportation, trying to lobby for some infrastructure help from the federal government as well. So, I know the Browns really want to get into that building by 2029, but the main point that keeps getting stressed to me from the organization is they do want it to be a positive experience for their fans, not just within the building, but as far as getting in and getting out of the place, because that really, I mean, that's the chief complaint that they had about the lakefront. Set aside the condition of the stadium and whatever amenities they may or may not be able to provide in it, just you can't get to the dumb thing. And every year it feels like an obstacle course to try and get to the lakefront. So it will be interesting to see if, in fact, this project does get delayed a year or two. But they're eager to get shovels at the ground and start digging that pit out, because they got to go 80 feet into the ground, and like they did with SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. And one of the challenges with that is we get more rain than Los Angeles does. And they kept running into delays with SoFi because of they had to keep pumping out the water from the rain that was coming through. And I think that's something they're going to have to deal with here. I have said digging that pit out is going to be the toughest part of that project, more than the infrastructure and anything else.
Daryl, I have made a bet. Sorry, not a bet. A guarantee that the Browns will score at least one offensive touchdown on Sunday. JP says that any guarantee that doesn't involve pierced nipples just does not interest him.
They're boring to me at this point, Daryl.
Yeah. Where do you land on this whole, is it a guarantee unless I'm putting some sort of physical alteration to my body on the table?
Put the nipples on the table.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to see that with Nick. So I'm gonna give Nick.
You had to say with
hurtful.
Nick. Now that
is
you hurtful. Could have just said I don't think anybody wants to see that. It would have been fine. But then you said with Nick, and now I think you're
that's hurtful, Daryl.
Being something that rhymes with Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But yeah. Don't go down the road of our brethren in Pittsburgh. Don't go there. Yeah. Let's just not go there. I do feel like we're going to see an offensive touchdown on Sunday.
That's bold of you.
The problem isn't that we're not seeing an offensive touchdown within games. It's the fact that we're not seeing multiple offensive touchdowns within games on a regular basis. That's the problem. So, if you want to guarantee it, there's going to be three touchdowns, offense, defense, special, like all inclusive, like they're going to get to 21 points. Or 20, we'll give him a missed extra point in there. Then I don't know. I think some body art might need to be involved there. But right now, no. One offensive touchdown. I don't think there's any need for any skin in the game there.
Yeah, I wouldn't guarantee three touchdowns because I'm not huffing paint
yet.
That's true. That's a really good point. If I watch one touchdown happen and they lose by two touchdowns, I probably I'll be like, well,
it is
got
a Friday.
Paint.
It is a Friday.
I got paint. I got some time. We'll see what we do. Daryl?
You know what? At least you didn't get like the Browns 2026 Super Bowl champions tattooed on yourself, right?
Yet.
Yes.
Still some time.
Well, yep. I guess we are in Super Bowl window 2.0.
He's got to talk to Bernie Kosar first, and then he might
get
the tattoo.
And Todd Philcox.
Yeah,
and
Brady Quinn.
I Kelly think Holcomb. Luke McCown.
One convo with
Josh
RG3, and it just gets it done.
Yep. And I'll leave my wife for an Estonian.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Sprinter.
Wow, they are the best sprinters.
Is that too much? All right, Daryl, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Daryl.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too.
Like an Estonian sprinter is going to get with me. Come on now. Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When we come back, sports in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Got the big wedding tomorrow. The first of three weddings that we have in the next 3 months.
Oh, nice. So you're going to wear the suit, I would imagine.
We're getting the suit together.
Whatever you got settled on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So suit pants, new pants that I just ordered.
Good.
And then a very nice little button-up we got going. So
nice. You having cocktails?
I don't know. This is one of the things. I know that post the reception and everything, they're going to do haunted houses. And so Vanessa's not a big getting scared person, but she's pretty excited to go to at least one.
Wait, how does this work? Why walk me through this?
So you they get married.
Yeah.
And
then you do the hour for dwarves and
yep,
everything like that
all
and all that.
That
stuff. And they cut the cake. And then is there like a there's a spot where it just turns into haunted houses?
No. So then you have the reception. So a little bit of dancing, a little bit of music.
What time is it starting at?
No idea. It could be noon tomorrow. It could be 3
p.m. Because if we're going reception, and then after the reception, then everyone's just going to haunted houses?
Not everyone. But we are of the select company that get to go to the haunted houses. And it's kind of one of those things where normally, like, I think haunted houses are fun.
This is going to be an all-day affair for you, man.
It is. I'm actually cool with it, though, because it's essentially it's just a elongated date night with my wife.
Yeah, no, and that's fun. But like, so usually, like, the, you know, weddings, they stop at around 11 or so, somewhere in there. So you're not going, I would imagine it's not a late wedding to then stop at 11 to then go to the haunted houses, but maybe I'm wrong. Have they rented out a haunted house?
No. Because they're going to jump from haunted house to haunted house.
In like the wedding outfit and everything?
No. They're getting changed. I will be taking off the suit jacket.
You know, some people love the idea of, like, you know, you go out and then you're like, hey, congratulations, and everyone screams all congratulations everywhere you go.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, I think they Vanessa knows this a little bit more than me. I just think, like, I actually think it's super cool. I think the haunted house thing is maybe the thing after a couple drinks is the thing I'm more excited about than anything else. Because it's like that can be just a me and Vanessa thing, even though we're part of a greater party.
So, like, Elise's cousin is getting married, and on like the Friday of is Halloween. And so, instead of, you know how usually you have like a Friday night dinner before the wedding on Saturday, the Friday night dinner, they're basically doing like a costume party.
Oh.
You know, and then Saturday is the wedding and everything's, but like the Friday where all the family goes to the dinner and anyone from out of town usually goes to the dinners on Friday before, that's just going to be one big costume party. I'm not going because it's in D.C. and I'm just not going, but I like people swerving into Halloween near Halloween.
So here's where hive mind here. I come from a family on my mom's side that it's like, oh, you're going to do anything different than how we've done every other wedding. That's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to my beautiful wife who's allowed me to venture out, allows me to like get out of my comfort zone. I think this kind of stuff's awesome.
So it's cool. The only thing I would, for me personally, if it was my wedding, first off, I'm not a haunted house guy. So that part just doesn't do it. I'm like your wife that way.
You don't like being scared?
No, not at all.
Because that's her thing is she doesn't like being scared.
Yeah, no, not at all.
I think it's funny.
it's not for me. But I don't even like, I'm not a scary movie guy either.
I'm classic scary movies. Scary movies aren't—they're no longer fun. They're let's see the most demented, crazy thing we can do. It's no longer like Michael Myers or like a psychological thriller. You know,
for some reason I like the Saw franchise.
Oh, no.
I don't know why, but I do.
That's when horror movies took a left turn.
That's my level of horror that I can deal with and I can have fun with. And then that's anything outside of that, it's just not for me. Halloween for me is about, it's about candy, and it's about, at this point, it's watching my kids dress up.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Mostly fair.
But you're so exhausted for your wedding day, though. And so the worry I would have for these people trying to then change and then go to these haunted houses, like I know after my wedding, yeah, my wedding went till about midnight or so. And then we all tried going down to the flats.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, all right, let's keep this thing going. I was so exhausted.
Yep.
Because I spent all day talking to people. I spent all day, you know, you're hanging out with everyone. And like, it's all my favorite people are there, essentially. But I'm like, I gotta go to bed. I'm done.
Well, it's gonna be impossible for them because you're just like what you get. It's like a barrage of dopamine just constantly because you're constantly seeing people that you love and you're just bouncing from one convo to another.
Mm-hmm.
You barely have time to eat. You barely have time to get drunk.
I didn't get drunk at all.
Sort of thing.
I had like two beverages my wedding night. Actually, that's what the one regret I have in many ways. I tell everyone that's young that's getting married, like, because everyone's always like, don't get too hammered. That's the advice that they give.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have enough.
Yeah.
Make sure you have enough.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't. Like every time, most of the cocktails I had the night of my wedding, they ended up being very watery because the ice went down. Because you know you're popping around, but I think they're going to be exhausted. I think I'm going to have like a second wind. I think I'm going to be very excited for this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not the one getting married or doing anything. You're just along for the ride. You should have a great time, especially if you like this type of stuff, if you like the haunted houses.
But you asked. I don't know. Like, because it's local to where our house is.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about...
Oh, that's nice. You're not even going far.
Yeah, if need be, if... You know, we want to get an Uber home. We can do that if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that that's on the table. Because the negotiations as a married couple of young kids that you're like, is it your night or is it my night?
Yeah.
I hate that.
How far are we from your oldest being able to drive?
We are 1 year out.
Yeah, we got to get a speed up on that.
Yeah. Oh, I already told her.
That would be sweet. Your kid turning 16, that's the best thing in the world then.
I'm not going to use my kid as a DD.
Why not?
We'll say it out loud. And then that's probably why.
Does that feel like a damaging thing? Of like, if anything, I think it teaches responsible drinking.
No.
I desperately want my child to be my DD when I get older. Wait, why is it a chotch move? I haven't thought it through enough. My kid's nowhere close to being close to drive. Why is it a chotch move?
Because you're using your kid as a DD. I don't know. It just every time I say it, I'm like, there's an ick factor that immediately comes out.
If anything, it's like a lesson of like, hey, don't drive while drinking. You're part of the help there. That's how I look at it. I can tell you're not hip to this, and that's fine.
No, I don't.
You think I'm the only person listening that uses their kid as a DD? And by the way, my kid is 2.5. She's very far away from me even having this conversation.
I'm at least 2.5 years away.
That's how to bounds. My whole life, I've just always assumed the kid could turn 16. Now you got a lifetime DD, essentially.
I still haven't let my kids see me drunk. Like I'll have a cocktail or two from time to time. But no, I think it's the idea, even if I wasn't drunk, if I just wanted to have a couple belts, I don't know. Just feels like, especially at 16. If they're like 21, maybe it feels different. Or like 25, and we've sat down and had a drink together. It's different.
Sure.
At 16, ooh, I don't know. Every time you say it, I really just kind of wince a little bit.
I mean, here's what I'm thinking. And I do want your opinion on this, Mac. More the idea that, so like, I would want my daughter to feel incredibly safe at that. Like, I had no judgment. I'm like Planet Fitness. I'm a judgment-free zone around here, okay? If you happen to have drinks, I want you to feel safe to call me so that I can pick you up and that you don't drive drunk, right? And so this is almost like, if we reverse this, this is almost like, this is your lesson to be like, hey, adults drink. Sometimes it happens. But the smart thing is that you make sure you have somebody driving that isn't inebriated, and this is how you kind of hammer that home a little bit.
I just think you're trying to reverse engineer logic to make it not weird that a 16-year-old would be my DD.
She drops you off first. She's not the DD, by the way. She's just dropping you off to the wedding, right? Would you feel comfortable her dropping you off to the wedding and then you guys taking an Uber home?
No. No, there's an implied designated driver.
Well, you guys are adults. She knows that you drink.
Yeah, I think there's something a little... The need for a DD implies that you're about to get turned up. And I think that's
just getting over the 0.08, which is another important instructive moment for your child, that it only takes a couple to get over that 0.08. You don't have to be plastered to be at a spot where the law says no driving can happen. Here's a sports fan.
All right, Mac, you can weigh in on this. I just feel like every time you sell it, it actually gets worse to me.
See, so speaking as the guy that was the only child that had to be the DD.
Ooh. You were your parents' DD?
Yes. Yeah, wasn't.
I was never my parents' DD, by the way.
It wasn't S. It was implied that it would end up being the case. So you don't necessarily get the whole lesson put in there. It just turns into a
responsibility.
Yeah, you just
need to take care of my parents.
Yeah, basically at a certain point,
some point you're going to take care of your parents anyway. Might as well start at 16, huh?
Would disagree.
What do you mean? Retirement homes? That's all you're doing is taking care of your parents.
No, I think
your parents take care of you, and then you take care of your parents at the end.
I think taking care of your parents would be them living with you and you providing for them at the end of their life.
That also happens.
Taking them to the retirement home, unless there's a health reason to be there, just feels like, I don't want to deal with you anymore.
That's also fair.
I mean, you can either way, you're still taking care of them. And as I don't know. I didn't know there was a red flag in this.
I'm surprised you haven't talked yourself into it yet. I think that's...
My child's 2.5, so like I got a lot of time to think on this before there's any action that actually takes place. There'll be a lot of crowdsourcing from other people to find out if this is in fact weird that you don't like to do this, or this is normal that you don't like to do this.
But think about it. You've had a child, DD, give his firsthand experience. That was sloughed off. You've posed several reasons why it would make sense.
The problem with Mac's experience is they didn't teach him any lessons while happening. You know damn well.
So you have
if
to tell
me,
them?
You know me and how this would work.
I would sit
in the back and be like, and this is why it's important that you get the DD, and this is why it's important that why you're driving right now is important for reasons X, Y, and Z.
I think you can have that lesson without having to, you know, actually implement it yourself at that point too.
I didn't know it was a weird thing. I genuinely just didn't know that was a weird thing that people didn't do. I just assumed everyone, when your kid turned 16 and you're paying for the car, you're paying for the insurance, that if you wanted to go out and have a couple beverages, they were in many ways your Uber driver for the evening.
It's more of a rite of passage at a certain point where it's like okay, fine, you have to pick them up, whatever. But like, I think that adding the lesson on top of it feels like another layer that you're trying to justify
shoehorn
it.
Yeah, you're trying to shoehorn it in and
constantly
justify
teaching.
It. That's what everyone says. You are the truth broker and the lesson broker as well.
Well, you just want them to grow up to be responsible humans, Nick. That's all that is.
Well, that's why I say I'll tell them, hey, don't drink and drive. There.
Well, good.
I don't have to show them. I can just tell them.
Good. I hope that works very well. For my money, I'd be like, all right, great. I got somebody driving, picking me up. It's going to be awesome.
What's your take on child labor? It feels very adjacent to that.
It's not. No, they're just driving you. That's not child labor. They're just picking you up because you've had too many to drink. That's not child labor.
Okay. All right.
I would say I was bought off by getting pizza afterward, though.
I once had this guy in college I knew. He's like, I'll always come pick you up if you call me, but the deal is then you got to take me to Taco Bell.
Mm.
So I'd call him and come pick me up. I'd take him to Taco Bell. Good time.
In case we missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.